appreciated. How y'all doing out there? Yeah? I tell you what, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Absolutely. So we are looking forward to sharing with you. We got something special this morning.
How special?
How special? I don't know, like 13 preachers this morning, so. Absolutely. So we don't get to do this a whole lot, and you know, we recognize that maybe some don't even know some of these people. So this is our church management team, so everybody say good morning. It's also called CMT, not Country Music Television. I don't even know. That's not even a thing anymore, I don't think. But anyway, the church management team, this is kind of the governing team that we look at. How do we, you know, what's the direction of the church? And really, this team is equipped and tasked with identifying what are the obstacles to the mission and the vision that the Lord has given us. And then how do we recruit, train? What does God have to resource in order for us to overcome those obstacles so that we can fulfill the mission and the vision? And the mission, of course, is, let's say our mission this morning, to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. And the way we do that, that's the what, you know, the how is our vision. And our vision is to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. And so that's how we go about what we do. And so every couple of years we go away, and because we have to take time to step away from the busyness and the constant pressure and demands of overseeing a church of hundreds of people, and it's a time of refreshment. It's a time to intentionally be with one another and build the fellowship and the camaraderie that's there. And it's also a time to seek the Lord. We seek him intently. We seek him intentionally. We seek him honestly. Lord, what are you doing? And then give us that vision, like we said this morning. Give us that vision so that we can now we know how to pray. Now we know what we need to pursue, who, what, where, all that stuff to pursue the mission that you've given us. And so we're going to share this morning. That's why we set goals. But again, I came back to the goal is already out there. We have our mission. That is the goal. And everything else then just becomes a step towards that goal. So the church is about people, not stuff. And maybe, you know, I understand. Maybe you come from a background, previous church experience, where that wasn't what it was about. It was about stuff, about programs, about things like that, you know, but it's not. It's about people. You know, and over this, you know, last few weeks, we had our leadership dinner a few weeks ago, and, you know, we invited input from all you guys who serve and lead in ministries and all that part of it, you know, and we greatly value that, and we're looking forward to how we can implement those things. But it's about people. And so we're just going to start this off here. We're just going to let the team share in their own words what God was speaking to their hearts over these, you know, specifically the last few days, because that's what it's about, you know. So we're going to start. Lloyd's going to start. Lloyd loves to go first. Lloyd loves public speaking.
It's really interesting to see, like, okay, they got the name tags.
Oh, some forgot your name in February.
Right on top.
Oh. Somebody can go get me a name tag.
Yeah, just in case you forget.
That's great.
I'm Lloyd.
We forgot we were doing Forget Your Name February.
So. Wait, this is my 30 seconds.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Good. I got 30 seconds, so it's going to really go really fast. I'm Lloyd. I oversee the building and grounds, and this has been an unbelievably stressful weekend. But it's not even the weekend. But anyway, it's really stressful. Because you're sitting there, you're like, okay, do we need more programs, less programs? Do we need more parking, less parking? Do we need the third service or fourth service? Do we need this? Do we need that? Do we need this? And all of a sudden, it's like, holy smokes. Only to understand what Micah 6:8 says. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly. What's justly? Justly is, what's the why? Why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing it for Nancy or Rick? That's what I came here for. God told me, hey, I want you to go help Rick. And I came here. We're doing Cliff and Jen because of the great music and all the other great things that are happening. What's our real motive? What's your why? Then to love with mercy. That shout of grace, to be a church full of grace.
Grace.
Thanks, team. And the third is to walk humbly before God. just the concept that we don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. I have no idea where we're going to get the next parking lot for the next growth of our church. But God does. And for me this weekend, it was like, just come alongside of him. What I have been doing, but kind of forget. Like, you want to take charge. You want to become part of something. And then all of a sudden, you forget, oh, no, he has the answers. He has the way and the power to be used by us. Thanks.
Lloyd's going back up to the soundboard so we don't have any technical difficulties or any more technical difficulties.
Well, next to Lloyd, I'm second in charge. You're laughing because you know it's not true, right? Now we're truth talking. Well, I jumped up to go next. Each staff person is supposed to get 30 seconds. Lloyd already violated that rule. But I told Cliff from the front I was going to take more than 30 seconds, and he said, well, you can do whatever you want. So, trained him well.
In all seriousness, you might not have to introduce yourself.
Introduce myself?
Well, like, who
okay.
Are you? Yeah, who are you?
My name is Cliff Eckhart.
You are a good-looking man, let me tell you that.
I can only hope to be as good-looking as Rick Collins when I'm his age. Well, if you can't laugh at yourself, what's the use, right? Well, this was a five-year retreat that actually was 6 years, and so a lot happened in those 6 years from the last time that Nancy and I led the last retreat. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about the things that happened that were not, I mean, they were earth-shattering, they were life-shattering for the world, particularly my retirement.
Yeah.
You guys just... But, I mean, when you talk about 5 years, you know, the things that happened was, yeah, I stepped down. I had to take care of health issues, and I wanted to invest my life in my grandkids. Cliff and Jem are ready to go, right? And so they're ready to go. Amen. And then the next thing you know, government mandated shutdown of all social activities, and holy cow, you know, that's an Indian phrase, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we have never, ever had to deal with anything like this. And it just shattered our worldview, our understanding of how to go about ministry. I mean, thankfully, God led, and we already had live stream going on. We already had online giving going on. So, you know, we didn't really miss much of a stride in terms of financial well-being. But, I mean, you know, my nightmare I had my entire life in growing up in ministry of preaching, and nobody there actually happened on the first, you know, that first Sunday of live stream. It was like, I'm preaching, and there's nobody here. Right? So, you know, anyway, that dream's fulfilled, all right? You know, nightmares are dreams, you know that, right? So anyway, you know, but what happened during that period of time, that it's kind of like a two-year period of time, is that first of all, there was a worldwide sense of fear instilled in people, especially about social contact, that the church fellowship, I mean, the sense of fellowship is really what drives the church, the need to be together. I'm a believer. I want to be with believers. And then the second thing was, as people sought to get information, the I want to call it technology, whatever you want to call it, the internet, the cell phones, all this stuff, just exponentially boomed in its use. And to keep up, and this is what we experienced at this retreat. Now here we are 5 years later talking about, all right, how's the world changed? What do we have to do to meet this generation who is lost? And we realize we've always kind of prided ourselves on being cutting-edge technology, and now here we are behind the eight ball. We really don't know how to do this stuff. We really don't have the expertise. We don't have the skills. We don't know. And so I think we all pretty much felt, maybe not Cliff, but I think we all pretty much felt threatened by this whole new world out there that we didn't know how to deal with and how to interact with. And so if I had to say, you know, I think that this was the most emotionally roller-coasting CM retreat. I mean, every 5 year CM retreat we've had, I don't know how many we've had. Every one of them is an emotional roller coaster. There's tissue boxes getting emptied. There's all kinds of stuff that happens, because when you start talking about obstacles, you start looking at yourself first and foremost. Am I the obstacle to what Jesus is trying to do here? And then, you know, and it becomes overwhelming, as you know. And then as you get in God's presence, that becomes overwhelming. And there's just a whole lot of tears and stuff going on. But at the same time, you know, I believe we came out with hope, and I believe we came out with vision.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled. So I've gotten new direction. Every time Jen leads worship, I told her, "You take me to tears and to my knees, and God talks to me there." So I'm always thrilled, right? So I'm thrilled that God's given me some new direction, new ways to invest in my grandkids, and hopefully you'll get some overspill from that. But it's a good time.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you for giving me. I think I took like 45 seconds. All right.
Good job. Yeah. Good job, Nancy. Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
First in charge, Nancy.
Nancy can go. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nancy Collins, for those of you who are new here. I oversee the women's ministry and involved in several other ministries here. But, you know, we started the church 42 years ago, and I never had a doubt that God would bring us to this point, but I never could see what this point would be. And I'm just so excited about the things that God is going to do. Mm-hmm. And I could probably speak for every CMT member here. By the way, do you all know CMT, Church Management Team?
Yes.
Okay, sometimes we go back to initials. What? Not Country Music Channel.
I made that joke earlier. I made that joke earlier.
Oh, you did?
I did.
So anyway, I only get 30 seconds or probably less because he took more. Yeah. But, you know, I just want to say that we all get to a point where we want to give up, including everyone up here on the stage. But, you know, the reason we do this is to share Jesus to the world. And we always come back to that. Okay, that's our why. That's why we do it. And it kind of restores our excitement. And I believe that's what happened this weekend. We restored our excitement to go into the next 5 years, or however many years, 10 years, 20 years.
Amen.
Good morning.
I'm Yvonne Stout, and I'm overseeing the children's ministry. And I thought we were supposed to share, I guess we're going to share that later, you're going to share that later, about what we came away from that, but what we want to accomplish. But I'm going to share my why. I guess that's what we're supposed to be doing. Because we talked about the who and the what. We didn't talk about the why, really. And he asked us that question, what is your why? And my first response was, because I cannot. Mm-hmm. I can't not, yeah. Which is probably grammatically not correct. I don't care.
Yeah. It's true.
I can't not. From early on, looking around the church, who has the smallest child? And that's where I wanted to be. So my God was calling me way back then. And so technology is like a barrier, when really what you want to do is snuggle and love, right? So that's been a challenge with the kids. The kids' numbers are fewer. It is coming back up, but you know, before COVID happened, we had upwards of about between 125, 140 kids back there. And I remember the first time the attendance came in, and I had 100 kids. And I said, Lord, help me, I have a church. Mm-hmm. And some of you know me from when I was younger, and if we had 100 people in church, man, there were no seats left. Small churches, but God grew my heart there in that small church. Mm-hmm. And I can't not love on the kids. So if you have kids here, I thank you for entrusting them to me. If you have grandkids, same. If you have kids in your neighborhood, kids in your family that aren't attending, I would encourage you to bring them. Mm-hmm. They're our future.
That's right. That's right.
And I look to some of the teenagers now, and maybe they're not even here yet, but somebody's taken my job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm going to give it to them. Mm-hmm. Because they can't not.
Yeah.
God's tugging on your heart. because you can't not. Come look me up.
That's right. Amen.
Thanks, sister.
Thank you.
That was a good segue for what I want to share. I'm Jess, and along with Wes, we tag team to oversee the Celebrate Recovery Ministry. I feel like what the Lord spoke to my heart is to remember that we are enough because He says we're enough. I think there are probably people within our body who won't step into that place that God is calling you to because you think you're not enough. But He is the one who equips us. It's through His Holy Spirit that we do and say the right things. And we're just riding on the wings of the Holy Spirit. In Celebrate Recovery, we have no idea what we're doing. That was another takeaway. We have no idea what we're doing. We got a lot of work to do. But thank God that He will equip us and provide for us to step in and serve. And the other takeaway for me was that we're doing a really good job being an Acts 2 church. And we're fulfilling that Great Commission. And the word tells us that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as the same, to love ourselves. And we, I think, are doing a phenomenal job at that. But there are so many people who are missing out on what we get to experience here. So there's work to be done.
Yes.
And we're the ones that have to do it through His grace.
Amen.
And again, my name is Wes. Like Jessica said, I'm one of the co-directors of the Celebrate Recovery Ministry here. Coming away from this weekend, what was first and foremost on my heart is that Satan really, really, really hates what Christ is doing at this church. We got a chance to list some victories over the past 5 years, and it was phenomenal. And then we had to look forward and look at where the goals are. Where do we want to be? What's the vision? And in that vision, others have already mentioned, boy, we sure do feel inadequate. However, that's solely because we are, as individuals, as people, we are. But you turn around and you look back at the victories board, and you realize it never was about us. It's about Jesus and what He has done through us. We can't do it. We cannot make those goals, but Jesus can. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Yes. So in 5 years from now, when we're looking back at the last 5 years that, and all those goals, I have absolutely no hesitation in feeling that we are going to be in just as great amount of awe at what Christ has done in this next 5 years as we were about the last 5 years. All Jessica said, all we have to do, continue to trust Him. We point to Jesus. If you've got an addiction, this church points you to Jesus. If you've got a broken heart, the church points you to Jesus. If you don't feel adequate yourself about something, you're not. And guess what? We are going to point you to Jesus. Because He can, through us just being simple vessels, again, we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus.
Thanks, Wes. Right.
Thanks, God.
Good morning. I'm Alicia Klutz, and I oversee our Welcoming and Connection Ministries. And first of all, I just want to say how much I love our church, and what a blessing to know that while we were away, I know many of you were praying for us, just as we were praying for you. And this team, I'm so grateful. There is so much wisdom here that I feel like I'm constantly learning. I'm just learning and learning. I want to soak it in and see what God does. And a very real Holy Spirit goes with us, and so does a very real enemy. But praise God that when we went, in the midst of any trial or, you know, because we're not just yes people who say yes to everything. We share that. We're not. We go into discussion. I know the Holy Spirit wants us to see how his children work together, to discuss the things that are brought to the table. And as we're working through that, and we ask his Holy Spirit to come, we just shoo off the enemy. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Help us, God, to see your vision. What do you want for the next 5 years? And I just wanted to briefly share, as Yvonne said, Jen and Cliff had us think about our why, of why we do what we do. And briefly, without the whole detail, approximately 20 years ago, I just remember I had been away from church for probably close to 6 months. I was just going through a very, very trying time in my life. And when I returned and went back to church, when I went home that day, because I went to church with a wall up, and there was so much that happened in my life that God was trying to clean out of me and restore me and everything. And this wall just made me go home, and I said to my dad, "I don't really feel at home at church. I don't feel at home." And he said, "Is it the church or is it you?" And I knew it was me. And I want people to feel at home when they come to church. And I'm so thankful that we have a church that makes people feel at home when they come through these doors. And the patience. We have to have patience with each person that comes, because they're coming from all different walks of life. Every story is different. Not everybody's ready to jump right in. Some are coming and just need healing. They just need to come and hear. They just want to come and go so they can go home and ponder and think about what just happened. And we have to be very aware of that and do our best and just ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, help us to see and hear clearly those that are crying out, to see exactly who we need to be intentional with each week." And during the week, if we hear God speak a name to us of somebody that we need to reach out to obey and reach out and be there. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in the next 5 years to continue, and beyond that, to continue to allow people to feel at home, welcomed, and receive Jesus into their life.
Well, my name is Ted Leininger. I'm pastor of Congregational Care here, and my why is all about small groups. You know, we come here on Sunday morning, and we just, it's wonderful, isn't it? But there needs to be ministry outside this wonderful experience on Sunday morning, and that's church during the week, and that's happens in small groups. And we discussed how we need to be more holistic in our approach to small groups, that it's the breadth of needs that are here are very wide and hard to meet everything. And we talked about the need to deal with life issues, small groups that help that. And we have Celebrate Recovery that deals for anything from hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and that pretty much covers a lot. But we have Trauma Reboot that helps go to the root and find out why we're functioning poorly in life. Just a commercial quickly, you can sign up today for the next one in March.
Yes,
we have Men's Conquer and Warpath groups that are helping men heal. We have personal counseling options that help with this life issues thing. So we have that side of ministry, but then there's the side of ministry that's spiritually becoming spiritually mature. We offer discipleship classes that help you not only understand the Bible and understand your purpose, but enable you to be set yourself up for leadership. And so we encourage you to take care of the discipleship classes that are being held. And then we just started a new believers class. When you look at the pastor or raise your hand and you want to start a life with Christ, we offer once a month a class for that new believer to come and to better understand the decision they have made to follow Christ. And one of the new ideas that we've talked about is having a Basics for Believers class that will enable you to walk through some of the basics of the faith to enable you to get started and start on the right platform. Then we talked about small group opportunities and home connection opportunities, where we need weekly fellowship and discipleship. That's where that happens. And we're praying for 10 this year. Amen. Or this next 5 years. Yeah. We want to see homes opened to have small groups that gather and have fellowship and opportunities to grow together as a group. We have specialized groups. We have men's groups. We have women's groups. We have couples groups. We have and some of the things we are dreaming about is widowed, divorced, blended family groups that deal with the issues that you are presently facing. We want to be as holistic as possible. We would like to see grief share and prayer groups. But all of this requires us to do something. It requires homes to be open. It requires us to be able to use this facility throughout the week in more of a purposeful way. And we're praying about how to do that. But one of the things that the vision that God gave me before I came to this weekend where we gathered was I saw a sign that said,
construction.
How many of you love to drive down the road and see that sign, construction ahead? And that's kind of what this weekend and in the leadership gathering and this weekend was all about is construction ahead means you're going to have to slow down. It means you're going to see stuff tore up that was old that needs to be repaired. And then it takes some time and it takes patience. How many of you have patience to go through the construction zones? It's hard stuff, but it takes patience and it takes love for one another. So as we work through all of these issues to create opportunities for these small groups that are so necessary to be holistic and meet the needs that you have, we're going to have to sometimes tear up the old. And how many of you loved when 248 finally opened? You know, we drove on 248 potholes forever, and then the road construction started. That was better, right? That took forever, but now just to sweep through 248 now, it's just beautiful, isn't it? And that's what we hope for this church, is that as we tear things up and we replace things, that at some point we're going to have a breezeway to Christ. And that is what our hope is. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Judy Eckhart. I am not Cliff's mother.
Yeah.
Old enough.
Yeah, that's
thank
it.
You.
She's not.
Anyway, I oversee the...
Yeah.
I oversee advertising. This weekend was something else. I'm not a crier, but there was a lot of tears among all of us. The first thing we had to write down was something that we're grateful for, what God's doing. And the second thing was what we want to lay down. The first thing I said was, you guys, I mean, being connected to this church, it's been a lifesaver. Because it helps to keep each other accountable. It helps to keep me accountable. It grows me. I would rather stay with something that I know than unknown. It's just not comfortable. It's not comfortable for all of us. The second thing, laying down, I had to lay down things that were holding me back. You know, a lot of us have family that they're not sitting next to us. And sometimes we make excuses, we get angry, we think that God should do more and would be better Christians if they were beside us. I had to put that aside because it's going to be in His timing. I also had to put aside that I'm not enough. You know, I struggle with being with this team. And they know it, and they pray about it, they pray for me. I would rather be greeting. It comes more naturally to me. I love to hug you guys, greet. I'm good at it. And also, I know who to make fun of, who needs that extra joke. You know. But I love that part. But that doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to be overseeing the advertising. It took me a long time to realize that. This is probably where I'm learning the most and where I'm changing and where God is stretching me. So I'm trying to put that aside, that I'm not good enough. I'll be here as long as I'm needed. One thing that is changing constantly is the technology here. I'm slightly older than a lot of you guys, and I don't know the new stuff. There's some of you that do out there, but I think you're being held back because I don't know if you think you have to be everything, know every scripture, pray 100% before you're going to come up and say to one of us, I can help you. We don't need people to come up and go, hey, you guys got to do this. You should be doing that. That just makes us feel terrible because we're trying our best. But if some of you have knowledge with advertising, you know, come and talk to us. I have people on my team that are fabulous. Jeremy, we're like this. Natalie, my daughter-in-law, and she does this. But we need a lot of people. We need a lot of people. This main thing is to get the word out. We need to constantly get our name out. Well, we've done newspapers. We've done commercials. We're doing billboards. There's more out there, and you guys know it. So if you're being tugged to come and talk with me, you know, do that, please, because we could use your help in any other ministry. So I thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lori Schaefer. I oversee the finances here. I prefer to be out of the picture where people don't see me. And I'm going to be doing something a little bit different than everybody else here. And you're going to find out. So this morning, first of all, I wasn't even going to be up here. I was not coming today. But God had a different plan. He told me this morning that he's teaching me to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So this is going to be like a brief one-minute testimony, and I wrote everything down, so forgive me, because I'm going to read so I stay on track. My title is Victory in Christ. I'm going to share something a little different, a little bit more personal. If you're sitting there looking at all of us thinking, wow, they really have it together, God can't use me. I can't lead in those ways. I'm not qualified. I can't teach. I can't serve. That right there is the Father of lies speaking to you. God, the Father of truth, also speaks, but we need to be close to him or we may never hear it. I always felt that God never spoke to me until the day before my mom died. He spoke to me so clearly. He told me to prepare for battle, to put on the full armor of God. I immediately messaged Jenny that day. From that moment, I have done something that has really, really ticked off the devil. I have immersed myself in God's words, prayer, worship, journaling, podcasts, devotions. Pinterest is fabulous for devotions. Who knew? So even though I'm doing all these things, the attacks of the enemy are still coming. Like the devil is coming in hot after me. What I thought was going to be a fun weekend turned into another attack. I'm not worthy. I should just quit. They have it all together. I'm just the misfit on this team. The greatest attacks comes from our thoughts planted by Satan. However, the greatest victory comes when we are able to recognize those attacks for what they are, schemes of the devil. I've been studying the book of Ephesians now for about 7 months. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So here I am, standing firm.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. You do not get victory if you've not been through battle, right?
Your mic's not on.
Am I on now?
So say that last line again.
Okay. You do not gain victory if you do not go through battle. So we say, I've got the victory. But did you walk through the battle? And yeah, it's so true. The enemy tries to thwart God's plans, but he cannot do that in Jesus' name. Yes.
Yeah, we thought it important for the church management team to share with you, because we want you to understand more than anything else that what we're trying to accomplish as a church is not something that we're saying, well, here's what you do, and we don't live it out ourselves. We said to the team, like, we have to model for our congregation what it looks like. The day in, day out stuff. And that's what happened. And there was real pain involved there, and there's real tears involved with that. And I said I was so proud of the team because, I mean, Friday night, we all wanted to quit. I went home. I went back to the room. I said, maybe I'm the one who should quit. Right? And Saturday morning we got up, you know, and that's, how many of you know, you had those, the Friday night? The next day is a new day. God has promised that his mercies are new every morning. And then when the sun comes up, that is the evidence God is still on the throne. Nothing exists without his say-so. And so the sun continues to shine and the earth continues to spin. So he's still on the throne. So it's a new day. So God, what are you going to do today? And so I get up Saturday morning and he led me to Romans 15. Now we have up here on our slide Habakkuk 2:2. Can you read Habakkuk? I know it's a little, might be a little tricky, but Habakkuk 2:2 is kind of our, you know, the go-to verse for, what does it say? Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. Write it down. Write down the vision. Cast the vision and keep it before you so you can say, that's where we're going. And that's a great scripture. But I followed a cross-reference from Habakkuk 2, and it leads us to Romans 15. Paul says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. He's talking to us. The stuff that was written down in this book is written for our instruction to apply it in the here and now. It's not just words from thousands of years ago. It's living and breathing it for us today. It was written for our instruction so that through the perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
Amen.
I asked the team, I said, when you see the word perseverance, it says that we need perseverance. What does that tell us? It's going to get hard. It's going to be tough. Going to have to endure and go through it. But what do we get? Hope. Paul says, now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, it doesn't come from ourselves, it's not about what we do or we accomplish or how great we are. God supplies. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ. And I said, here's where we are united as a team. We all think we should quit. We all think we're inadequate. Be of the same mind with one another. Jenny had said we wanted to come away from the retreat being united and excited. And I'll be honest, Friday night, it wasn't look like that was going to happen. The same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice be busy about church programs, traditions, and a general state of being busy.
Oh.
Is that not what it says?
No,
it doesn't say that, does it? And we can get wrapped up in stuff and like all this, oh, we want to do more and we need this and we need that. We need all this stuff so that we can be busy for God, so we can look busy for God and I can feel better about myself. That's religion. It's empty. It leads to death. Jesus came to abolish religion, to do away with it, to show us the new and living way, and that's through a relationship with him. And so with one voice, we may what? Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose for us to be, what can we unite around? Praise God because you are our all in all. You are our strength. You are our supply. We are nothing. We are inadequate apart from you, but because of you, through you, as Wes said, we are more than conquerors. And so that's what we did Saturday morning. We said, we're gonna unite and we're going to praise. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus because that's how the church was established. That's how the church has endured for 42 years and how it's going to endure for the next 42 years and beyond because we're going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Cliff talked about the inadequacy. It was Friday night, you know, after we had a meeting on Thursday night, and worship, and we wrote down all these like great victories, things that have happened over the last 5 years. And trust me, this was not an exhaustive list. It was just kind of throwing out great things that God had done. We had great worship, and it was good. And then Thursday, we kind of got down to the writing the vision and inscribing it on tablets. Can you take it back to that verse? That the one who reads it may run, not run away. Not run in the opposite direction, right? The flesh wants to run away. The spirit wants to run with it. So there's this, when you're going to try to do something great for Christ, there's going to be a tug of war. I'm telling you right now. And if you just recently quit a ministry or quit your job or quit something because you felt inadequate, I encourage you, seek your heart and say, you know, was that the enemy that wanted me to quit? Or is God putting me somewhere else? Because rarely does he say, you know, I want you to quit so you can just sit on the couch. He usually just is moving you to something else. So we encourage you guys, you know, get involved. And when we share our hearts, we keep it real at Blue Mountain Community Church. Because Friday night, we went to bed, it was like 11 o'clock, and we're going, okay, what's happening here? And I was feeling like, I'm not doing enough. I need to do this, I need to do that. And you've heard me share those things before. But the Lord said, everyone on your team is feeling that way right now. There is a battle going on right now. And I kind of went around that room. I was like, this is the enemy. This is so obvious. But why could we not see it? This is the enemy trying to. And you know what? The enemy doesn't bug you if you're not doing something good for God. You know, it's when you're doing something, when you're tasting that picnic, then those flies start running around you. When God's like, you're in a feast with Jesus, the enemy wants to come in like flies and try to snatch all the goodness away. And we just came away from that more determined to like, no, we're moving ahead and we're excited about what God's going to do. I can't wait to see the 5-year board in 5 more years. But one of the words the Lord spoke over our team at the very end of our retreat yesterday morning, and I feel like he's telling me to speak over you. He just said, oh, if you could see what I see in you, if you could see that I handcrafted you on purpose, with a purpose that only you can fulfill. Oh, if you could see what Jesus sees in you, young and old, he's not done with you. If you're still breathing, you better be praising. If you're still breathing, you better be serving, right?
Do you want to talk about that? Explain that. A lot of them talked about the what's your why. You want to explain that real briefly?
So the what's your why, how many of you came to our leadership dinner? Great. Thank you guys so much. We had 120-some people show up to our leadership dinner. It was great. We had leaders and people involved in ministry and some new people that want to get involved. And all the ministries got a chance to sit together and share their vision and their dreams for their particular ministries. And they got to share them at that dinner. And we believe that more things are going to be happening with the ministries getting together. So we're not sharing specific goals today. But the what's your why, that question came out of a book that I'm reading, and the woman in the author shared the story of the bricklayers, right? And there were three bricklayers, and the first one was asked, what are you doing? He said, I'm laying bricks. And the second person, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a wall. But the third person, what are you doing? I'm building a great cathedral where many, many people will come and they will experience restoration. You know, and that's what we're doing as a church. What are you doing? I'm babysitting the kids. No, you're investing in the next generation. Do you know that I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 3 years old with my Sunday school teacher, because she had the courage to say, Jenny, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? And I said, no. And she said, would you like to? I said, yes. And I prayed right there. And I will never forget that Sunday school teacher, Ruby Schnell, who led me and said to ask Jesus in my heart. And teachers, thank you for teaching my daughter, Bella, who comes home every Sunday with something she learned in Sunday school. Thank you for investing in the next generation. Guys, it is not babysitting. You're serving the greatest in the kingdom when you go back there. The greatest in the kingdom. Because they are the ones that are so impressionable and they need that. But what are you doing? What's your why? Are you laying a brick or are you building a cathedral? You know, so, and it takes a body.
So when your why is, I am glorifying Jesus, I am lifting up the name of Jesus, when we do that, then God supplies the victories.
Amen.
That's what he does. And so man, did, as we look back, we want to share this real quick with you, all right? This is shock and awe time, all right? And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what God has done. We started with a blank page. All right, I said, here's the victories. You know, what are they? What have they been in the last five and a half years? What has God done? And so we're going to go through these like super, super fast. But
okay, change the service time, length of service.
We offer in-home connection groups.
Offer a recovery program.
Hire. So all these came from the goals that we absolutely accomplished that were goals from 6 years ago.
From like within that.
These are things
plan.
That we absolutely did, right? So offer a recovery program.
Equip congregation to evangelize. Hire Cliff full time.
Hire an adult education visitation pastor. Here's Pastor Ted.
An outreach representative to the church management team. That was Judy.
Judy. A church-wide picnic.
We did two of them, I think, right? House. Yeah, we did two, I think.
Right. Mission trip to India.
Yep. Equal attendance in both services. We're reaching that.
Staffing to support 500 people. We recognize that though there's about 300, 350 in a room, that on any given Sunday, that it's the virtual church is far beyond that.
Tons of people watching online. Yep. Pastor Rick retired.
Hey, right? Yeah. No.
And we had a successful transition, think, at least.
Yeah. Not only did we survive a global pandemic, this church has thrived as a result of a global pandemic.
Praise God. We obtain a consistent, even service attendance making those changes.
Yep. We offer consistent offering of financial peace university.
Mm-hmm. We have a high ratio of people serving, which is awesome. Many of you are serving in ministry.
Absolutely. Not the 90-10 principle, 10% of people doing 90% of the work, not the case here. Right. We got a new playground and a new kitchen.
Woo! Finally, new kitchen has been on the list for 25 years. So that was a blessing. We've continued to have our services at Penn's Peak, and those have been awesome.
We kept track of, we have 163 baptisms over the last
five years. 115 new members.
115 new members. In 2022 alone, 290 first-time guests.
Woo!
That's staggering, right? And as a result of that, what we figured out is that we are retaining, we are growing. About one out of every nine people who come for the first time, they stay. You say, well, how is that? How does it compare? National averages and attrition rate alone to survive is 1 out of 10, between 1 out of 10 and 1 out of 20. Anything below out of 1 out of 10 is good, healthy growth. We're at 1 out of 9, and when you consider coming out of pandemic, starting from zero, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's really,
Praise
really
God.
Good. All right.
Yeah. Stability, longevity in leadership.
Yep, there's a growing excitement and attendance in Elevate. I love being at Elevate. Man, teens, that's where it's at. I look in the room and I look around and I see, here's what's awesome. Of the teens that are there, half of them don't even come here on a Sunday morning. Those are kids inviting their friends from church, from the schools, and they're getting excited about it and they're coming. That's awesome.
Growth of our Impact Ministry under Cheryl.
Yep, we offer new believers class. Ted mentioned that.
Beautification of facilities, decorating, making it look a little bit more up to date. Thank you, Hobby Lobby. Okay, go ahead.
We got our parking team overseer and our growing team there.
Continued support of Go Ye Missions, India, and I mean thousands of kids being and families being touched.
Yep. Our gatekeepers leadership and the stability and security there, making our church a safe place in every sense of the word.
The leadership dinner was great to reconnect everybody.
Yep. Our healthy living awareness group that's up and running and growing. That's awesome.
A yearly increase in tithe salary escrow. God has just been blessing us to be able to save for the future.
Don't miss that. Every year for the last 5 years, the tithe has gone up. We have never, ever been in a position where salary escrow has the fund balance that it has now. Ever. God supplies.
And we have no debt. Our church is debt-free.
No debt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Conquer series, Warpath.
Yep. Helping men become free from sexual immorality, sexual addiction. Going to be a battlefront for the church as we move forward. Increased online presence. More and more I talk to people. How'd you find us? Google. Give a shout out to Google. We're the top rated result when you do local church, community church, or you know, awesomest church in the area. That's us. That comes up. You know, finding our website traffic, Facebook live streams, all that stuff, part of it.
Ted and Joe launched and sustained the Reboot Trauma Recovery. They've touched over 100 people.
Oh, there's financial peace again.
Yep.
The high ratio of people serving in ministry again. We wanted to obviously highlight that twice.
Prominent festival presence, outreach involvement. We've done several things, and we just love being able to get down out there in the community. We want to do more of that.
Tithe and salary escrow has increased. Tithe and offering has increased, even as we de-emphasize giving in person. We don't even talk about it anymore. We don't even say,
exactly.
Hey, we're going to give the Lord Jesus a tithe and offering. We don't even do it anymore, and tithing has gone up. He's Amen. Amazing, right?
Yep, faithful stewardship, we're debt-free. We had our 40th anniversary celebration and party.
The church has a reputation absolutely for being generous. People in the community say, oh, you need help? Go to Blue Mountain, they'll help you out.
Benevolence ministry, yes. Consistently meeting needs as they come to us. If you have a need, please call us. Please come to us. Don't, if you're having a surgery, if you know somebody's in the hospital, or you're struggling financially, please don't be afraid to ask. That's what the body's here for. We're here to help each other. That's the Acts 2 church. So you need a coat, somebody has an extra coat, you get a coat. You know, and like, we want to help.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Online giving, use of cutting edge technology. That's our, we're trying to, you know, grow in those things.
Jenny launched her Get Up with Pastor Jen, the midweek messages, which is, we found was a great, absolutely outreach tool, helping extend the board, extend our reach beyond on a Sunday morning. The online community, you know, all that stuff happening, that's fantastic.
We strive for excellence in our worship. We have an awesome team, right? Music ministry, woo! Worship is not just music. It's all, it's the whole entire thing. It's the message. It's everything. You know, I'm just so thankful for all our teams that make this house a house of worship.
Yep. We got this electronic drum kit up here. Most of you may not even recognize. We used to have an actual drum kit up here in the cage, and the sound was unbalanced. It was tough to get room sound, all that stuff. The electronic drum kit, the sound is, which is always a moving target in a live, with a live audience, but it is absolutely being consistent, getting better. I'm really happy for that. I love our harvest party that we have for every year. Miss Yvonne oversees that. I love it because it's a great outreach opportunity, fun times, and we get to see Yvonne be the goofball that she is. That we all love her for it. So that's really, that's a fun time.
We have a church yard sale. Benevolence Ministry gets those funds, and those people do such a great job.
Same thing. The Benevolence Funds has never been as high as it is now because of the generosity of people and because of the outreach, so that they are able to increase their reach. That's amazing. Yeah. We talk about name brand recognition. That has been a goal for a long time. We wanted everybody in a 30-mile radius to know if, hey, if you hear Blue Mountain Community Church, that name, oh, I know where they are. I know where that reputation, they have a reputation for being an outreach church, for being a generous church. That's extending not even, again, not even in person, but in the digital age on social media, that reach is expanding.
That's right. Vacation Bible School. Every year we have a big Vacation Bible School. Excellence and giving the kids that gateway to elevate, you know, getting them to transition into the elevate.
Right. We had talked about how Jenny releasing her CD of original music, Faithful, was a huge outreach, a huge impact, and a huge victory for the church in how we were able to come alongside her and support and promote that, and then what God is doing as a result of that.
And then the young adult ministry startup. Rose started young adult ministry. If you're a young adult, hey, we're all young adults, right? No. If you're like in that 18 to 30 range and you'd like to get connected, let us know, because Rose is running some outreaches, and we'd like to call, you know, kind of get that to grow, that ministry to grow as well. Okay.
So we have increased connection points. There's a couple here, men's breakfast, men's retreats, women's retreats. Ted alluded to some of those things. You know, we're just finding more and more opportunities to get people connected, get them involved so that they have a tether and a support group because life isn't always easy. So. Yep.
The Next Step gathering, in fact, is in 2 weeks on a Sunday. So see Ted and Joe, or you could go to the Get Connected table. And the New Believers class that Ted mentioned is actually next Sunday. So if you recently received the Lord, if you'd like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can go to that New Believers class during second service. Correct? Okay.
Yep. We're offering discipleship classes. We all continue to offer them. We've changed the format, trying to adapt to the needs of our culture. We're still seeing how that plays out. Plug for that. Discipleship 401 is coming up. If you want to sign up, please do that today.
Yeah.
You can sign up for that. How to study the Bible. That you know. And here's where it gets really crazy. Okay, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the stuff that we could have gone and go. And that doesn't include all the stuff that you guys submitted through that survey and said, here's all the other stuff, right? We got page after page after page after victory. And we begin to consider story after story after story of God changing and transforming lives. Look around the room. It's full of stories. And that's just, this is a quarter of the congregation that's here. Right.
Yep.
And then there's this, you know, Lloyd said, he goes, we are a church of yes people, not in a sense, whatever you want to do, not about us, but Lord, what do you want to do? And that's what we'll do. And then Lord, I'll say yes to you, because like Yvonne said, we can't not do it. That's what united every person up here. We're all inadequate, but none of us can say, well, God, I'm going to step away, I'm going to walk away from you, and I'm not going to do it. I can't not do it. So I'm going to say yes to you, and God's going to bring the victories. We talk about how we are just, it's not about Why do we do this? We talk pretty much every week about how we are trying to help you experience the living God, that he's not distant, he's not far away, but he is as real as a person sitting next to you, that he wants to be a part, an intimate part of your life, and create those intimate moments, those powerful encounters where you say, man, my life was a mess before, but because of God, because of what he's done through him, through Jesus Christ, my life is different and it's better, and we are expanding the reach of the church. And so story after story, and so I'm so thankful that Lori got up here and shared honestly and was vulnerable, because that was the moment. That's what it's all about.
Yes,
it's absolutely what it's all about. She said, I feel like such a failure. I said, but thanks be to God. You let him work in you. You're not the same as you were before. And so every time somebody says, God, I blew it, I messed up, but I come back and you offer, you say, hey, I'm really sorry. I said something that was really stupid. Can you forgive me? That's a victory.
Amen.
Because thanks be to God, our flesh doesn't do that. Every time somebody says, no, that's the old way of doing things. I'm not doing it anymore. God, theirs is a new and living way. I'm giving myself that. That's a victory. Every marriage healed. Every chip handed out at CR. Every person who makes a decision that says, no, my life was a mess and I'm not doing it that way anymore. I'm doing what God said. That's a victory.
Woo.
Story after story.
Amen.
Jesus is glorified.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's what God has done.
Yes.
And that's what's going to continue to happen.
Amen.
Because it's not about the stuff. It's about every person who says, God, not my way, but yours. We're going to submit. We're going to surrender to you. And so we talked about, and we're going to skip through all this stuff here.
Maybe next week we'll send some more stuff, right?
This is how we get there. This is how it happens. Psalm 139. Would you read this nice and loud with me?
Search me, O God,
and know my heart.
Try me and know my anxious thoughts.
See if there be any way of pain in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's how it happens. Every single person, from the leadership team on, every person who says, it ain't about, the problem ain't out there, it's right here. Lord, what's in me that's not of you, work in me. Day by day by day by day. And draw me into that closer relationship with you. Less of me, more of you, Lord. And when I lift you up, then you build your church, you expand your kingdom. That's how it happens. So the vision, we talked about this, and we'll send this out to you. There's all these kind of things that are out there. But really, what I saw as the overall takeaways, where are we heading as a church? Again, we already have our mission. We already have our goal to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. How do we do that? By being a community of believers, as described in Acts 2. What specifically is God calling us to in the next 5 years and beyond? I believe is that a clear understanding of the individual why, that every person here would know why, not only did they come to church, but why you exist. Because your ministry isn't limited to what I do from 8:45 to 9:57 on a Sunday morning.
And counting.
Your ministry is where you go and how you serve the Lord every day. We are looking at, really, I said, looking at all these areas, you know, we want all these different kind of groups and ministries. I said, what we're looking at is offering total health care.
Yeah.
Because God wants you healthy. He wants you healthy in every area of your life, in your mental state, in your emotional state, in recovery from wounds, in helping you to forgive, and helping you to, in your relationships, in all those areas, parenting, marriage, grief loss, all those things. He wants you to be emotionally healthy. In your mental status, in your physical health, or healthy living, healthy lifestyle. You know, like, God wants you physically healthy. In our financial state, in our relational states, God wants you healthy. And all that. That's what we're looking for. You know, your one-stop shop for complete total health care. We want to continue the name brand recognition. In person, and as we understand that the church is becoming virtual, how do we do, you know, we want to see that. Hey, people go, Blue Mountain Community Church, that's where you can get healthy, that's where you can meet Jesus, right, Wes? That's where you can find Jesus. We want to look at how God is preparing us to be a resource for the community and for other churches, recognizing that for a long time, the community was kind of scared of us. Right? They were different, threatened, right? I don't know what they're doing. Where now, after consistency and seeing what God's done, other churches, communities begin to look at them, hey, what are they doing? Something's happening. Something good is happening there. So how can we be a resource to that? We are absolutely being intentional about mentoring the next generation.
That's right.
Our kids, our teenagers, our young adults, that is the future. And so we are committed to being intentional about empowering and equipping the next generation to lead the church. And then along with that is going to be that cutting-edge technology, getting back to that place where we were ahead of the curve, setting the standard rather than lagging behind it.
The reason for cutting-edge technology is communication. getting the word out, because I know a lot of you struggle. I don't know what's going on. You know, we send emails and we send, you know, newsletters, and there's Get Connected table. We want to try to add plugs on the screen, and there's different ways, but we want to try to get the communication out to not just you, but for you to be able to share with people. That's what we're going for with the next cutting edge technology, because there's
two biggest obstacles were connection and communication. Mm-hmm. Those are the two biggest things where we can improve, so that's what we're going to do.
That's right.
All right. So all of that brings us to John 1:39. Jesus, talking to his first disciples, offers this invitation. He says, come and see.
Amen.
He offers us, it's an invitation into this life with him. It is an adventure like no other. He's offering the same invitation to you today. Will you accept it? Music team, you guys want to come on up? We're going to come to the Lord's Supper this morning. It's fitting as we talk about what God has done and looking forward with hope, with excitement to what he's going to do, what he's going to do next. It's absolutely an invitation into that. We're asking you, will you be a part of it? Will you do your part? And how do I do that? By saying, God, here I am. Use me. I'm not qualified. I'm not adequate. Lori said she's a misfit on the team. I looked at her and I said, Jesus chose misfits on purpose. He did it on purpose. Because it's not about us. It's about him. About him working in us. And so right before Jesus went to the cross, he shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. I'm doing this for you. That was his why. He took the cup and he said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins, the freedom of all mankind forever for those who believe. The disciples had no idea what they were in for when Jesus gave them that invitation, when he said, come and see. They had no idea. Jesus did. He knew it was coming. He knew the cross was coming. He knew it was going to be the most difficult thing any human being would ever endure. And he said, God, not my will, but yours be done. I'm surrendering before you. The disciples, in the aftermath, said, I'm not qualified. All I know is this. He lived. He died for me. He rose again. That's enough. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so they said, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. So will you join us on this invitation? Will you join Jesus on this invitation? I'm going to ask you all to just close your eyes for just a moment. This is your invitation. If you have never before said yes to this adventure with Jesus, asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, to let him work in you so that you can be free of the past and walk into the new and living way, but you want it. You want to be a part of that. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and look at me so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that decision today? Okay. I'm going to ask you if... I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you to make this commitment, though. If you're willing to follow Jesus on the adventure, to be a part of a church that authentically loves one another and is committed to saying, Lord, your will, not mine. Then I'm going to encourage you to come on up here as the band plays. Tear off a nice big chunk of bread, dip it in the juice, go back. Make that your commitment. Father, I thank you for this day. It's a day you have made. I thank you for the day of victory. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. All the glory, all the honor, all the credit belongs to you. And Father, thank you for what you're going to do. Because you are always on the move. Every day is a new day. You're not stagnant. You don't stay still. You're always working in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We look forward with hope and expectation to what you're going to do. Would you pray this after me? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me. Thank you for this adventure. I'm not qualified. But you love me. I'm not adequate, but you supply. Not my will, Lord. Yours be done. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.